franchise.
Yeah, it is very possible.
I'm not saying they're going to do that, but they're pretty ticked off at the Red Sox right now. So I don't
blame you. And this is the, and this goes back to what I was saying at the beginning of the show, in which that how can you be so arrogant and you ignore the warning and as you perfectly said, they were giving a very specific warning apart from the general warning that the rest of Major League Baseball received, and you went ahead and you still did what you did.
And incidentally, the Red Sox raised ticket prices for next year. Just thought I'd let you know if you didn't know that.
I did, and oh man, and I think honestly that part is really it's minor in comparison.
And they're still over the luxury tax, so they got to pay penalties even again next year on that.
Oh yeah,
and that lowers their draft pick another 10 spots if they have one. It gets lowered.
If they have one, it gets lowered another
10 spots.
Exactly. Exactly.
Or whatever draft pick they do have is going to get lowered another 10 spots.
Uh huh.
Because they're over the luxury tax again. And the Yankees, incidentally, signing Cole, if they lose their case against Ellsbury, they'll be over the tax.
Uh huh.
You know, they're trying to get out of Ellsbury's deal. Did you hear that?
I did. And that's so sleazy.
They said because he went to a different doctor,
mm-hmm.
and they approved the doctor he went to. I mean, they're just being, I mean, like, really?
They're trying to say, no, you didn't play for us for X amount of seasons, and you think you're going to just pay you to just sit your behind on the couch?
They gave him the contract. I don't blame Ellsbury. They gave it to him.
No.
But see, if they get out of that, then they're below the luxury tax. They don't have to pay the penalties. So that's why they're working so hard to get out of it, because they gave Cole a ridiculous 9-year contract for a pitcher who's already 30. What do you think he's going to be doing by 39? Sitting in his rocking chair, he's not going to be pitching at Yankee Stadium.
No.
These free agent deals, even Donaldson last night, he's going on 35. He got a 4-year contract. I don't understand the lengths of these contracts they give these guys. It shocks me. Piazza, Pedro Martinez, they all got long contracts.
Piazza got a 7-year, $91 million contract.
He never finished it.
No, he did. Yes, he did.
Not of any.
With the Mets, he did.
And not with any consequence. Like Pedro the last couple of years. Pedro the last couple of years did nothing with the Mets.
Now when you say with any consequence in terms of Piazza, like
nothing to the level he had been at.
No, that job was expected. I mean, because think about it.
Look at Pujols now in California. He's not at the level.
There was no way that he was going to maintain that same level he had in St. Louis through the duration of the entire contract.
He's got another 3 years to go on this. I mean,
there's no guarantee that he'll even complete those 3 years.
But he gets paid for it.
Gets
paid for it. Baba Bonilla is still getting paid.
There's a reason why they still have a Baba Bonilla Day in Queens.
Yeah, he's still getting paid.
I'm taking phone calls at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. It's now 1 o'clock, 103 rather, to be exact. But this is the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. Tough Sweet Farm Radio. I'm going to just get this done and out of the way real quick during this hour, because this is going to be a very jam-packed hour with we're waiting to start for the press conference from the Red Sox to discuss the firing of Alex Cora, excuse me, having a brain fart, and in which that we cannot carry it on the air. I mean, I'm not sure what the policies are. I'm not going to. So, with that being said, what I can do is that we will be following this online as much as I possibly can, and I will share with you the details as we go along through all of this. So, we're gonna just pause for a moment, and we're gonna do station identification. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO, Medford, Tusk Free Farm Radio, and we're also going to do the PSA now for the 1 o'clock hour. So stay tuned.
I am Dr. Lester Grinspoon, Associate Professor Emeritus of Psychiatry at the Harvard Medical School. Back in 1966, concerned that so many young people were harming themselves through the use of marijuana, I began to review the medical and scientific literature to help clarify the nature of this harmfulness. Much to my surprise, I discovered that it was a substance remarkably free of toxicity. In fact, it is far safer than any pharmaceutical or recreational drug. There is no record of a single overdose death from its recreational or medicinal use. Marijuana is one of the most studied substances. I believe that it is high time that this country reconsider its stance on cannabis.
Them legalize marijuana.
Hey, this is Scruffy Wallace, the Dropkick Murphys, and you're listening to WMFO Medford.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright. We're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford, Tufts Free Farm Radio. I'm glad you can join us on this special edition, Wednesday afternoon edition of the Shukri Wright Show, as we are all over the story in terms of the Astros cheating scandal and Alex Cora, as well as his dismissal from the Boston Red Sox last night. And as we're now at 1:06 p.m. Eastern Time, 10:06 for those listening on the West Coast, basically right now, like, we're actually looking at the press conference right now. Basically discussing in full what happened, what led into the decision. And there is something that I actually want to touch on before we even go on break here. And I'm curious, in the wording of the press release that they released last night from the Boston Red Sox. And this is the thing that I just found it to be absolutely interesting. Now, for those that didn't read it, I'm going to read it to you in its entirety. So here we go. This was a statement from the Boston Red Sox and Alex Cora. This was last night at 7:25. This was posted on Twitter, on the Red Sox Twitter account. The Red Sox today issued the following statement on behalf of principal owner John Henry, Chairman Tom Werner, and CEO Sam Kennedy and Alex Cora. Quote, today we met to discuss the commissioner's report related to the Houston Astros investigation. Given the findings and the commissioner's ruling, we collectively decided that it would not be possible for Alex to effectively lead the club going forward, and we mutually agreed to part ways. Henry Werner and Kennedy added, quote, this is a sad day for us. Alex is a special person and a beloved member of the Red Sox. We are grateful for his impact on our franchise. We will miss his passion, his energy, and his significant contributions to the communities of New England and Puerto Rico. Cora added, quote, I want to thank John, Tom, Sam, the players, our coaching staff, and the entire Red Sox organization. I especially want to thank my family for their love and support. We agreed today that parting ways was the best thing for the organization. I do not want to be a distraction for the Red Sox as they move forward. My 2 years as manager were the best years of my life. It was an honor to manage these teams and help bring a World Series championship back to Boston. I will forever be indebted to the organization and the fans who supported me as a player, a manager, and in my efforts to help Puerto Rico. This is a special place. There's nothing like it in all of baseball, and I will miss it dearly. End quote. Sports professor, what's your thoughts based on hearing this?
It's a typical press conference. Everyone's patting each other on the back. I mean, you know, it doesn't say a lot. They liked Cora. He was very well liked by the team, by the players. They knew it was going to be over for him, and he's probably not going to get at least a 2-year suspension at the minimum.
Mm-hmm.
And they all just patted each other on the back. I mean, it didn't, you know, it was a typical press conference, a press release, I think. It didn't state a lot.
I mean, there was something that stood out to me in this entire in this entire statement. And I want to point out specifically what that part was. And the part that really stood out to me was, today we met with the commissioner's report related to the Houston Astros investigation. Given the findings and the commissioner's ruling, we collectively decided it would not be possible for Alex to effectively lead the club going forward, and we mutually agreed to part ways. We mutually agreed to part ways.
Alex had no choice.
Before I even go off on a tandem here, that phrase right there, we mutually agreed to part ways. I'm sorry. That does not sound like... No. That's not a mutual agreement. That's more of like, you, sir, you got exposed, you got hosed. Now, guess what? Adios, pelota. Adios, mi amigo. See? Goodbye, my friend. You're done. People have a really strange way with words. And it's funny to me because... Let's do role play right now. I'm gonna pretend your room right now. I'm gonna describe it for those who are listening on the radio.
Come on in.
Hey, I got a message from you that you wanted to meet with me. Is everything okay? I mean, I understand that I've been under investigation, but.
You're out of here. Goodbye.
Oh.
You're done. Go back to Puerto Rico. You're done.
Wow.
Nice job, though. Thank you for cheating and helping us win. We appreciate it. Made a lot of money.
We'll
maybe slip you a few bucks on the way out the door.
I appreciate the time here. You know, it breaks my heart. It makes me feel sad. It's a sad day. But I appreciate the 2 years...
We loved you. We loved that you won. Thank you.
You mutually agreed that it was time to split. How do you mutually agree that... I mutually agreed to be fired.
He had no choice because he knew the commissioner was going to suspend him anyway.
Sports professor, I'm not yelling at you. I'm really not. Please. I'm serious. I'm not yelling at you.
I'm too old for that.
No. Never. But it's like, how do you mutually go into a meeting you is that we mutually agreed to be fired? How does that sound?
Well, in a way, Cora knew he was going to be suspended anyway. He knew it was coming.
He had to have known that he was going to be fired?
Had to.
No big
secret. Once Houston's thing came out, he knew he was toast. Toast.
Unbelievable. So, in all of this, to me, it sounds like this. And now I'm not going to go crazy deep into the press release that was released last night. But what I will say is this. What I will say is, this is interesting now for the Red Sox front office. Because here you have it, this fresh-faced guy, who we talked about, by the way, the last time you were on the show, the night that he was hired. In fact, not even a full hour after he was hired, you were sitting right in that very chair. And...
We're talking about Mr. Bloom in case.
Yeah, Chaim Bloom, the vice president and general manager for the Boston Red Sox. Now this comes about, and now you don't have a manager. And then, oh, by the way, pitchers and catchers report in how many days? Oh, that's right. 26, 27 days?
Yeah, it's less than a month.
Less than a month. So now my whole thing is this. And I promise you, I will go back and watch this entire press conference later on today. And just an FYI, and I'll talk about this later on in the show. I will be back on tomorrow, another 3 hours from 9 a.m. to noon. So I'm putting this out there now. I'll be on the air again tomorrow morning from 9 a.m. to noon, right here on the same station, 91.5 FM WMFO. So with that being said, I'm really curious as to what are the questions that's being asked right now. What's even being discussed?
I would like to know if the Red Sox ownership knew when they hired Cora that he was an expert.
That's a great question.
Electronic stealing, because he'd been doing it before. I wonder if they knew it when they hired him.
Let's talk about that.
And closed their eyes to it and said whatever.
Let's talk about that.
Ownership will never admit it, but I'm curious.
We're going to talk about that very topic, because that's exactly where we're going to touch on next. When we return, as Sports Professor put it brilliantly, did the Red Sox front office know what they were getting into when they decided to hire Alex Cora in December of 2017? That's a very fair question to ask, and I'm interested in getting your feedback. As always, call in at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. You're listening to the Shuker Wright Show with the Sports Professor in-house, in studio. This is Shuker Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tusk Free Form Radio.
Y si el pueblo pide, chipápenme. Y si el pueblo pide, lego, lego. Y si el pueblo pide, no se lo va a negar. Si la mujer pide, pues yo le voy a dar. Y si el pueblo pide, no se lo va a negar. Si la mujer pide, pues yo le voy a dar. Y yo suénalo, pa' acá y aceléralo. Todo el mundo está abajo y se mide ese booty, pégalo. No me mates la vibra hasta ahora y goza tiro. Métele esa son, mami, como dice tío. Ya tú sabes quiénes son, me resuelto de montón. Dios bendiga el reggaetón, amén. Hasta abajo así soy yo, Yankee Pasta me inspiró. Bajo fuerte como Ron, falda con mi pantalón bailando reggaetón. No se lo voy a negar, si la mujer pide, pues yo le voy a dar. Y si el pueblo pide, no se lo voy a negar. Si la mujer pide, pues yo le voy a dar. El reggaetón la pone friki, se pega como Kiki, como Yavia con el Wiki Wiki. La vida loca como Ricky, no te la de piqui. Que yo te he visto fumando creepy. Tú sabes quiénes son, me resuelto de montón. Dios bendiga el reggaetón, amén. Amén. Hasta abajo así soy yo, Yankee Pasta me inspiró. Bajo fuerte como Ron, Ron, Ron. Y si el pueblo pide, no se lo voy a negar. Si la mujer pide, pues yo le voy a dar. Y si el pueblo pide, no se lo voy a negar. Si la mujer pide, pues yo le voy a dar. El negocio socio, chipábenme. Sky rompiendo, Sky. Tiny, Tiny. Viste, viste.
Up to
Welcome back to the Shuker Wright Show. This is Shuker Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Free Form Radio. That was a little bit of reggaeton. The song was called Reggaeton by J Balvin. We're going to continue with a little bit of a break. And next song I have coming up playing for you before we continue on with the discussion is No Me Conoce, also by J Balvin, Bad Bunny, and Jhay Cortez. So, hope you enjoy.
Nunca se deja ver, no sabe disimular. Tiene lo suyo y le va bien, pero de noche conmigo le gusta portarse mal. Llega y lo que quiere es pescar, está puesta pa' bellaquear. Yo no la paro y a veces mira raro.
Se hace la que no me conoce, pero en mi cama se volvió un vicio como la 512.
Está con traje y cuando se viste sport. Tiene el booty aquí, el espero usa los panties en mall. Unas par no aguantan presión y la tienen bloqueada. Un par de psycho en Tokia. No bregué en la calle, pero estaba aquí. La baby está muy dura, pa' mí que está aquí. Chiquitita pero grandota. En la uni buena nota. Niña buena se le nota. Pero le explota la nota. Y se hace la que no me conoce.
Quieres peinarse y arreglarse. Llega a la disco a soltarse. Que si me conoce dice no, oh, pero sabe bien que sí. Y ella lo mezcla con alcohol, oh, como cuando yo le di. Y en todas las poses preguntan y dicen noces. De contacto tiene goce. Y siempre después de las 11 o 12
tira pa' que yo la pruebe. Se pone olorosa y me gusta como huele. Mantenerlo privado pa' que nadie la vele. Se puso bonita porque sabe que hoy se bebe. A portarse mal pa' sentirse bien. No quería fumar pero le dio el pen. Una Barbie pero no busca un Ken. Siempre le llego cuando dice ven. Pa' portarse mal se viste bien. Dice la verdad y a veces miente también. Apaga las notificaciones en el cel. Ya tiene lo suyo pero hay que ella en el cuello de beso. Le hice tiempo como un preso. Si la ves no la hablé de eso. Que se hace la que no me conoce, pero en mi cama se volvió un vicio como a las 5:12. Me la comí entera y nadie se entera. Un par de amigas, todas solteras, siempre a la vela pa' que ella siga.
Se hace la que no me conoce, pero en mi cama se volvió un vicio como la 512. Me la como entera, nadie se entera. Un par de amigas, todas solteras, siempre la velan pa' que ella siga.
Bad Bunny, J Balvin,
Bad Bunny,
J Cortez, la nueva ¿O no me sigue todavía?
Yo creo que sí.
Si Masi vuelve a poner un ritmo así, lo vuelvo a partir. ¿Qué fue? Oasis.
Oasis.
La Trinidad.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show alongside the sports professor in studio today here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tough Street Farm Radio. And we're going to continue with the discussion with about Alex Cora and as well as the Boston Red Sox. Now, I'm having a really bad mental lapse in terms of there was something that we talked about that we were talking about towards the end of the previous segment that we mentioned that we were going to talk about this segment around.
Whether the ownership knew what they were doing when they hired Cora, knew that he was doing all this.
Now, this is something that we're going to talk about now.
If they knew and they hired him knowing what's going on,
yeah,
that definitely puts the whole ownership status in question. They could be kicked out of it.
Yeah, and part of it I thought was, and it was frustrating, is there's a part of me that feels they probably didn't know, but I just have this funny feeling where they may have known something, but we don't know. And at this point, it's speculation. But, and I think it's what's telling to me is, when and we had the chance to listen in on the press conference that's currently ongoing right now at Fenway during the break, and the one question that stood out and the question was asked directly to Sam Kennedy, and the question was, does Alex Cora deserve a chance to manage again? And his response, it was a simple yes or no. They didn't answer the question, simply put.
No, they said he's a nice guy and a nice manager, and it's a beautiful day today in the neighborhood.
Essentially. They didn't put it exactly in those words, but you get the point. They danced around the question. And I found that to be telling because, number one, no one questions Cora's ability to manage a game. Like, nobody. Nobody,
and the players love him.
Yeah, the players love him and so forth. However, what tells me is that they feel somewhere along the line, if the answer was a resounding yes, I feel like they would have came out and said yes. But because of the nonsensical sports politics, as I like to put it, they decided they was going to say, hey, you know, we're not going to answer directly and so forth. But I just find it that if you are really certain about something, and if you're sure about something, you're going to answer it directly. No Lazo, no Jetter, none of that nonsense. You're going to be straight up direct about it. How is it that you get asked? Because that also tells me they know that there's a chance that man may never manage another game in the major leagues again. If we're going to be honest. Because again, like you and I saw the answer, saw and listened to the way that he answered the question. They know there's a chance he may never get another shot at this again. Because because I feel like that's also a factor into it as well. And that is, if you're so confident that he's gonna get another shot at this again, why don't you just say it? You saw what this guy
could. Well, it might be they don't know what suspension is. They probably may be waiting to see what Major League Baseball. Maybe he gets suspended for life. Who knows?
Whew.
We don't know what Major League Baseball is going to come down with a big suspension. We don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And then we got to go around hiring a new manager.
And that's the part where it's going to be. It's going to be really interesting to see how this all plays out, because I just have, yeah, because if there's anything that I've learned in all of this so far, and that is the Red Sox, they're washing their hands from this entirely completely. But here's also something interesting, and I haven't brought this up yet. Think about this. The Red Sox last two managers have both been indicted. I wouldn't say indicted, but they have been basically been part of cheating scandals. Think about it. John Farrell, 2017, the Apple Watch, Alex Cora. Do you think there's a potential problem?
It paints the organization in a bad light. We were talking before, they referred to them as the cheaters. It's not, you know, it just gives a bad taste to the whole organization, and that's the country doesn't look favorably. They call Boston cheaters anyway because of all the Patriots problems over little things, one after another, another Red Sox, one after another. It just makes your organization look bad. That's why I think the ownership's going to be in some trouble here. I really do. I think the ownership might suspended or maybe sell. I think the ownership, they're going to come down on the ownership here. I think they really are. They didn't in Houston, but I think here they're going to. That's my guess, but I think so.
Not only that it creates a bad image, but I also think that this creates a problem whereas you have had the last two managers involved in cheating scandals. There's a big picture problem here. Because the cop-out, for those outside of New England, the easy cop-out would be, oh, New England sports, they all cheat. Blah, 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 blah. That's the easy cop-out. That's a real easy cop-out answer because typical, of course, typical. However, with the Red Sox, you begin to look at them very differently and you begin to wonder, wait a minute. If the last two managers have been involved in cheating scandals, then why on earth have the Red Sox not come out and say, we will not stand for this? Because the truth is, they haven't. They haven't yet. They haven't denounced it. They haven't spoken out against it. Nothing. And add another point to this, Sports Professor. They haven't even said anything about denouncing it when they released the press release last night. So what does that tell you?
I think they're complicit in the whole thing, to be honest with you.
And that, thank you.
That's my opinion. I'm not basing it on any facts.
You said exactly
don't
what I was
sue
thinking.
Me. Don't sue me. But, you know, this whole thing kind of got public when Mike Fiers, the former Houston pitcher, came out and said they were doing this.
Yeah.
And now Carlos Beltran is painted with the bad brush. They say he was the leader of it, but he was a player at the time. Now he's the manager of the Mets, so he has a black cloud over his head, too.
You want to know what's interesting? What's interesting is that when you talk about the Red Sox being complicit in all this, and you said exactly what I was thinking.
I mean, I don't know. I don't want to be taken to court. I don't and sued. I'm not saying they were complicit. I think it's possible they're complicit.
I think it's very much possible. I'll take it a step further. Your actions show that you're complicit. I'm just gonna be bold and say it out loud, live on the airwaves, because don't we all know that if you're really against something, that you're actually gonna say something? You're going to make it very clear, especially if you're in a professional environment. But the Red Sox, they haven't even done any of that. So that tells me that, one, your silence is a cosigner that, you know what, we're okay with it.
Made a lot of money.
You made a lot of money, but you know what, we're okay with it. Shh, it's not a big deal. Don't worry. And that's the part that's disturbing. Their lack of speaking out and denouncing this type of behavior is appalling. And that further leads me to believe whatever they do next and whatever happens next, I'm telling you, the Red Sox, they're going to have a lot of questions to answer starting now. Because I really do wonder, if someone in the media asks this question during the press conference, in terms of number one, you recognize there's a problem here. Two, in terms of your next managerial hire, what are you going to do to rectify this issue? Because again, I don't know like what is said and what was being said and so forth. But I gotta tell you, it's absolutely embarrassing, and it's actually really discouraging that here we are in a moment of truth. The Red Sox ownership, they did nothing to absolutely absolve themselves from illegal behavior like this.
They've said nothing against it. It's like the Catholic Church that sweeps things under the rug.
Essentially. But the point remains. You sweep it under the rug in hopes that, oh, this is gonna all blow over, you know.
No, wait till the penalties come down. This is gonna be shocking, I think.
It really will be. I'm really waiting.
It's gonna be harder than Houston's because the Red Sox have had previous issues, so I think it's gonna be more than what Houston got.
Yeah. And this is why I'm really intrigued.
And Houston didn't object to the penalties. The owner just said, we take it.
Exactly.
That's it. We're not appealing anything.
Which is...
He stood up and said, I'll take the whole blame.
And I respect Jim Crane for doing that.
Yeah, he did. He said, I'll take the whole thing and shut up. And the Red Sox are going to be worse. I guarantee it.
No, it's going to be. The question is how bad. And that's something that we hopefully will know soon enough. But I do know this. At this point, there's very little to any question in my mind that the Red Sox ownership have some serious questions to answer now.
Well, now we got to get going too, because spring training's coming up. They got to get a manager. They got to get going here. We got to get moving. They say Houston's probably going to promote the bench coach, a spot or whatever his name is. He's interviewed for a lot of managerial jobs.
Right.
For the Red Sox, the obvious choice is Ron Reinicke, the bench coach. He's been a former manager for the Brewers. He's obvious. But was he complicit in this?
That's why I'm thinking to myself, if I'm Red Sox, you clear house.
Oh, they're talking about Jason Varitek coming down from the front office.
I think that's been talked about in
terms
of the fans.
You know who I would bring in? You know, I'd bring in, it would kick ass and shake up the town. You know who I'd bring in?
Who?
Buck Showalter.
Wow.
I'd bring in Buck Showalter.
That's a great.
He's an old-fashioned kick-ass kind of guy. He doesn't believe in all this electronic crap. You do it my way, get the hell out of here. He was with the Yankees, Arizona, Baltimore.
Yeah.
I'd bring in Buck Showalter and say, bring your own staff in and let's go.
Wow.
That's what I'd do.
I didn't think about that at all.
Think about but him his, in here. His style and the way he plays. It'll shake up the whole place.
And the way... That his relationship with the media, and that's also the big part about Showalter that gets overlooked.
Yeah.
His relationship with the media.
He was in ESPN.
He managed in New York, which says a lot.
And he brought them right to the cusp, and the next year they win the championship.
He rebuilt that winning culture before the dynasty took place.
And he got the winning culture in Baltimore when they were doing nothing.
Yeah, exactly. In Arizona, they were the new franchise. You know,
I would bring in him and say, bring your own people and everybody else get the puck out of here.
I just want to make sure that you didn't say what I think.
I said puck out of here.
Oh. Okay.
I don't think they're going to do that. I would be shocked, but if I'm running the club, unless Reinicke and the rest of the staff is completely innocent.
Gotcha.
Reinicke's a former major league manager. He's sitting as the bench coach. He's logical. He knows the players. He's been here. But if he's complicit in this, that paints him a little bit, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have no idea if he is or he isn't. He certainly had to know what was going on. He can't be oblivious if he's a bench coach to not knowing it.
And that's the part that's like, you're the bench coach. You're like the second in the chain command, so to speak.
Yeah, you're the runner-up.
Yeah.
You're vice president.
Yeah. So it's like you had to have known.
He had
something.
To. I mean, you know, but you know, he's a logical one. But if they want, I'd go outside the organization and bring in Showalter and say, "Go." It'd be exciting around here. I'll tell you that.
I think his old school approach is.
He can't last too long in a place because the players get tired of him.
Yeah.
But for a year or two, he's fantastic. If you notice that.
Yeah, I think for right now, and I do mean. For right now, for like a 2-year stretch, like for this year and maybe next year, Would he do some good? Maybe. I do mean, because after all, this isn't a terrible roster that he will be managing. They still got some viable pieces, and like...
But David Price isn't going to get away with any stuff under Showalter.
Showalter's not going to let that fly. This
David Price and Eckersley feuds, and none of that's going to happen under Showalter. No way in heck that's going to happen.
And then on top of that, what I also do think that if Showalter were to even be considered, because now he's now an analyst for the YES Network in New York, covering the Yankees, is he brings a level of accountability and discipline, not that Cora didn't.
But he's a little tougher than Cora. But he
really is an old school baseball.
He's an old school guy. None of that stuff's going on under his watch.
But here's the concern that I have. You look around baseball, how many old school managers are there left in the game?
They get rid of them all. They get rid of them all.
Ozzie Guillen, gone. Joe Torre, retired, now in the Hall of Fame. La Russa,
Joe Torre was
Hall
of Fame.
Phenomenal.
Manager.
Phenomenal.
Notice La Russa's out of here, too. He left.
Yeah, he left as well. Like, Bobby Cox, gone. So all the old school managers that we knew, especially for me, knowing about, especially growing up as a kid in the 90s, all gone, including Showalter, no longer in the game. And I think part of it now is I just don't know if any team will be willing to go back to that old school approach, because I understand even before he was fired in Baltimore, he didn't get fired,
his contract was up, they just didn't renew it.
Yeah.
It's like Jason Garrett for the Cowboys.
Correct.
He technically wasn't fired, his contract was up, and they said goodbye.
Yeah.
Showalter's contract was up, they didn't fire him. They fired Dan Duquette, who was awful, but they didn't fire Showalter.
Yeah, so with that being said, I do wonder this. I wonder if, would they be willing to make this kind of a...
I would, because there'd be no fooling around. He'd get the best out of what he's got, but in a couple of years, he burns the people out. But I would do it. It's not my money, though.
Yeah. So with that being said, you can call into the show at 855-915-WMFO. 855.
Dusty Baker would be good, too.
Not sure.
He interviewed for the Giants job. He was second in that one.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how I'd feel about Baker being the next guy. Because, I mean, all right. I was going to hold off on this, but we might as well dive into it now, because we're talking about potential candidates to take over for the Red Sox managerial position, and I wonder, is there anybody that you, the fan, may have in mind? Call in the 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. We're here with you until 3 o'clock on what has been a tumultuous couple of days, and it's only going to get even worse, especially with all of which that has taken place in terms of the Red Sox and Alex Cora and so forth. So I want to definitely get your take on, continue to talk about potential candidates. You mentioned Buck Showalter. You just mentioned Dusty Baker.
I was shocked that Gabe Kapler got another job in Philadelphia. They said he was terrible game management.
He was.
The players hated him. And boom, he gets another job. And it was a
god awful hire. I'm just gonna keep it 100.
Didn't the Giants hire him or whatever?
They did.
And he was terrible in Philadelphia. I'm shocked.
That's why I'm like, you really think this is gonna work in San Fran? I don't think so.
I was shocked he got that job. Bring Bruce Bochy in. If you get him out of retirement, he'd be good for a year or two.
Like, that's the thing. Like, he's a surefire Hall of Fame manager. No question. Like, but
I don't know. I bring one of them in and calm the waters instead of trying to deal with an internal guy, and the question would be, did you know? Even if Veritek came down, did you know what was going on? It's always going to be that cloud about an internal guy. That's just, what do I know?
And that's why the Astros are going the opposite way now in terms of going outside the organization.
They're not going to promote Espada.
No.
No, okay.
No, they're going outside the organization.
Well, I'd get one of those guys. You only need them for a year or two, and they're not tainted with all this stuff.
And that's the part that's dangerous in the sense of, okay, you hire within. Now you got even more questions, as you put it perfectly.
What did you know and when?
What did you know? How much did you know? Were you complicit in all of this? All of these questions.
I am not a crook.
I did not bleep
I know nothing. Like, I know nothing, Colonel Schultz. I know nothing.
Right. So if you're the wrestler, do you really want to deal with that by hiring a guy that's already from within? Or do you want to go outside the organization?
I gave you three good ones from outside. You only need them for a year or two. I'd bring in one of those and say,
they're not going to agree to a one-year contract. There's no way.
No, you have to give them 2 years.
Right.
You have to give them 2 years. But they're older. They don't want a long contract. Bruce Bochy's closing on 70. He doesn't want a long contract.
Of course. So, well, all of that being said.
You want a joke?
Oh, gosh.
Bring back Bobby Valentine.
Someone did, and boy, I think let's just say the reaction wasn't very pleasant. It was humorous, but there were those that were like, no,
Bobby Valentine,
absolutely not. I'd rather burn down the barn.
Oh no, he's not going anywhere again. He's at Sacred Heart, and I guess happy there. I guess he's opened a restaurant, you know, Bobby V's.
Oh, interesting. Does it come with L's, losses?
Mustache is for everybody coming in.
Ah, I see.
Remember when you did the hide with the mustache?
Oh, don't even get me started. For those that listen that don't know, 1999, Bobby Valentine gets ejected from a game, and he decides to disguise himself in the Mets dugout at Old Shea Stadium, wearing a prop mustache, thinking that the umpire wasn't going to recognize him. thinking about it, I'm just like, wow. But
these young people today don't know like what they're talking about.
They really don't.
When you get to be 100, you remember a lot of things from the past.
And oh god, oh man. see, thinking about it now, it gets me thinking. Wow, you name three candidates. Now it's my turn.
Go, baby, go. Casey Stengel, come on.
Casey Stengel, oh, God. I don't think Casey Stengel would fly in today's game, especially with social media.
Tommy Lasorda would.
Oh, of course.
Tommy Lasorda would.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, but I do wonder, though. You mentioned Lasorda, and he was here in the front office role. But he's in the Hall of Famer. He's retired.
He's got an ego, though. He'd probably love to be in the spotlight again.
Of course.
He has a huge ego.
Oh, absolutely. So, with that being said, wow. One guy who I think should get some sort of consideration from outside the organization, and this is depending on if, and I do mean if, he even wants to manage. Ladies and gentlemen, remember a guy named Jack McKeon?
He used to be a San Diego Padre and Florida Marlins manager.
World Series champion manager
with
the Marlins.
He's got to be well up there in years now. He's probably 80, isn't he?
Yeah, but he last managed just last decade.
He did a pretty good job.
Yeah, actually. With the Nationals, yeah.
Did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
But he's got to be in his 80s by now.
Yeah. No, he is. No, he is.
100. Has to be.
I could tell you. I can actually look this up.
I mean, maybe I'm wrong. What the heck do I know? But
Jack McKeon. How old is he?
I'm guessing 80-something. I'd say 82. I don't
know. He is 89.
80. Oh, yeah. That's...
Wow.
That's up there.
For sure. But there's no question that... Listen, the man can manage. Either that or...
Can he still stand?
I mean, who knows? He does have a career winning percentage in terms of a manager at of 515.
And he had some crappy teams he had to deal with too.
Yeah, especially in Florida.
Speaking of the Marlins, you know, I got to tell you a little anecdote I discovered.
Yeah.
Everyone laughs about how bad the Marlins are. Mm-hmm. In the past 2 months, they've designated six guys for assignment. You know what designated for assignment is?
Yeah.
All six got picked up by other teams. Or other people, the Red Sox have designated Sam Dravis, Marco Hernandez. Nobody's picked up these other players. The Red Sox designate, the Yankees designate. Nobody picked them up. Marlins designated six guys, and all six immediately got picked up. One by the Red Sox, Austin Bryce, the pitcher.
Oh, yeah, Austin Bryce.
Six designated, all claimed by other people. How bad are the Marlins people if their designated people are all being claimed?
I got one even better. The Florida Marlins outfield could have looked like this right now.
Oh, yeah. You got Yelich and Stanton.
Kristen Yelich, Marcel Ozuna, and Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Please, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That I'm never going to let that go.
Oh, yeah.
No
they're
way.
They're moving in the fences in Miami this year, too.
Oh, yeah.
They're moving them in.
Let's see how much of an improvement has that helped the team offensively.
I'm just wondering, though, they designated 6 guys and everyone got taken. Everyone.
Essentially.
Your Red Sox designate guys and they sit there. Nobody wants them.
Mm.
Sam Travis has been sitting there for 3 weeks. Nobody's taken him.
Essentially.
I'm surprised that Marco Hernandez doesn't get grabbed.
That's one of the big surprises of this offseason. Like, why hasn't he been signed?
And why hasn't Brock Holt been signed? You know?
God.
I don't get it. There's some good players sitting there that nobody's touched. Even Ozuna hasn't signed with anybody.
Yeah. But
anyway, we're getting off the. Well, we're still on baseball.
We're still on baseball, but getting back to the Red Sox.
I'm getting tired of the Red Sox. Cheaters, let's move along.
Oh gosh, but you know there is a topic that I want to get to, and this is something that's going to get my blood boiling in the final hour of the show, the 2 o'clock hour. We're going to talk about this in detail. We're going to talk about the Bruins starting at 2 o'clock.
Okay.
Because I'm at a point now, something has to be done. Something has to be done.
Somebody's got to teach Brad Marchand how to keep his stick on the ice.
Oh, no. I got something for... Actually, well, that's true, yes. But there's something actually far more worse. And this further confirms the big problem. There's a really big problem with this Boston Bruins team. Yet, people are happy with the fact that they're third in the NHL standings.
They can be dynamic at times. They can absolutely look foolproof at times.
There is a problem with this team. I'm going to tell you exactly what that is during the 2 o'clock
okay.
hour.
We're looking forward to it.
So stay tuned for that.
Hold on to your seats, folks. An earthquake's coming.
Yeah. But either way, in the meanwhile, call into the show at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915.
Did you get that nice mustache you have from Bobby Valentine?
No. No. And even if I did, I wouldn't even have the interest of putting it on my face. Skin rash. No. So with that being said, we'll stick to some baseball for right now. But I gotta ask you this. With some trepidation, though, with all that has gone on with the Red Sox, what's your early prediction as to how this team will do once the season gets rolling?
The Red Sox?
Yeah.
I'm thinking, okay, they don't have a fifth starter. Their sale's going to break down in June.
Yeah. We can all bank on that.
But that Bogart's endeavors are awesome. Mookie Betts and Benintendi are awesome. Bradley
and Betts is in his walk year too.
He's going to want to have a good year. I think they're going to be in a lot of high scoring games. They have a great offense, but I kind of think
the pitching is what worries me.
Oh, pitching, and there's nothing in the minors.
Not at all.
And the upper minors that they can count on to bring up for pitching. They maybe Dahlback as a hitter. They don't need another hitter. They need pitchers. And they haven't done anything for the pitching staff except Martin Perez, and I don't think that's going to accomplish much. This Austin Bryce they got from Miami is pretty good.
Austin Bryce?
Yeah, the relief pitcher they picked up from Miami. He's pretty good, actually. Trust me on this.
Yeah.
I've seen him play. His strikeouts are way above his innings pitch. He's pretty good. But they're pitching. I'm seeing them a lot of 9-7, 10-8 games, which means four-hour baseball.
Yeah.
Is this year they go into the new... 3 batter minimum, does that take place this year?
I believe so, yes.
It does.
Yeah. So I wonder if that's how much of an impact it's going to have on the game, or in terms of increasing the pace of play or not.
Well, you go through that ninth inning where they change pitchers after every batter and the guy's got to warm up. It takes forever. It's like the last minute of a basketball game. They all call timeout, timeout, timeout. I was at a Celtics game and there's a minute and a half to go, and it took 30 minutes to play a minute and a half. And I'm like, everybody took a timeout, and they're rolling the ball up the court so the clock doesn't go. And then they got a TV timeout. Oh, went on forever, a minute and a half.
It's the good old, as I like to say, Oh. Hmm.
Baseball, they're changing those pitchers every
every batter. The left hand.
The left, the right, the left, and then it never works. The guy hits the right guy hits the right-handed pitcher, and the left guy hits the left-handed pitcher anyway. So what did it accomplish?
Essentially, accomplished essentially nothing, if we're being completely honest here. Oh boy. So we're gonna step aside, and when we return, we're going to talk about the Bruins as promised, because we're going to take a break from the Red Sox discussion.
Yeah, I'm done with the Red Sox.
Because you may be, but this region is just getting started. But I am
my socks are blue right now. I'm wearing blue socks, so I'm done with the Red Sox.
Okay, Dodger Blue. Okay, Dodger Blue.
Dodger Blue.
Okay, so like coming up next, we're going to talk some Bruins. But, yeah, I've hit my breaking point with the Boston Bruins in terms of the season so far. But why, when they're in third place in the league standings, they're behind St. Louis and Washington. But why would you be at your breaking point? I'll tell you why. Coming up next, if God can help me, please. Coming up next on the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio.
Facilito me le pego y es que
yo tengo un problema.